The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. Prepared for radio in 13 episodes by Brian Sibley. With Ian Holm, Michael Horden, Robert Stevens, and Peter Woodthorpe. Episode 8, adapted by Michael Bakewell. The Voice of Saruman.
Gandalf the White, once more you come in the hour of need, unlooked for.
Unlooked for? I said I would return and meet you here.
But you did not name the hour, nor foretell the manner of your coming. Strange help you bring. Strange to cover bare hillsides with a mighty forest. You are mighty in wizardry.
The trees. That is no deed of mine. It is not wizardry, but a power far older. A power that walked the earth. Ere elf sang or hammer rang, ere iron was found or tree was hewn, when young was mountain under moon, ere ring was made or wrought was woe, it walked the forests long ago.
And what may be the answer to your riddle?
If you would learn the truth of the trees that walk the earth, you should come with me to Isengard.
To Isengard? But there are not now enough in the mark to assault the stronghold of Isengard.
We go to a parley, not a fight. I wish to speak to Saruman. And since he has done you great injury, it would be fitting if you were there.
But I cannot leave without tidings of Éomer. He was not with us in the Hornburg.
Fear not for Éomer, lord. He comes to greet you.
Hail, lord of the mark.
Welcome, sister son. Now that I see you safe, I am glad indeed.
And Gimli, blooded and bandaged, but still on his legs.
42, Master Legolas. Alas, my axe is notched. The 42nd had an iron collar on his neck. How is it with you?
You've passed my score by one. But I do not grudge you the game, so glad am I to see you.
But you have missed a wondrous thing, Legolas. The caverns beneath Helm's Deep. Immeasurable halls filled with an everlasting music of water. No dwarf could be unmoved by such loveliness.
You make me regret that I have not seen them. Come, let us make this bargain. If we both return safe out of the perils that await us, we will journey for a while together. You shall visit Fangorn with me, the greatest and oldest of forests, and I will come with you to Helm's Deep.
You have my promise.
But now we must leave behind both cave and wood.
Whither are we bound, Gandalf?
To Isengard. We must ride swiftly.
Tarry a little. My men are weary with battle, and I am weary also. Alas, my old age is not feigned, nor due only to the whisperings of Wormtongue.
Then let all who are to ride with me rest now. We will journey under the shadow of evening.
I thought we were making for Minas Tirith. What is this, Isengard?
A fair city once, built in a circle like a vast shallow bowl. Once it was green, filled with avenues and groves of fruitful trees.
The trees no longer grow in Isengard. Since Saruman took the city, it's become dark and hard. Marble and copper grow there now. Iron wheels endlessly revolve and plumes of vapor steam from the vents. The fair ring of Isengard is like a graveyard of the unquiet dead.
And in the center stands the citadel of Saruman, the tower of Orthanc, Mount Fang.
Once wise men watched the stars there. Now Saruman has shaped it to his own shifting purposes, aping the might of Sauron in his dark tower of Barad-dûr.
And this is the iron stronghold we are making for. A handful of battle-scarred men on weary horses.
Trust to Gandalf, Gimli. There was laughter in his speech when he spoke of the riddle that would be answered in Isengard.
Behold, the towers of Isengard.
They are beaten into the dust. The gates are cast down, the walls broken. It is as if the great sea had risen in wrath upon the city. Only the Tower of Orthanc remains, and no sign of any living creature.
Oh, no, my lord. There seem to be two people taking their ease and feasting amidst the rubble of Saruman's stronghold.
One of them is breathing fire.
Uh, Welcome, my lords, to Isengard. We are the door wardens. Meriadoc, son of Saradoc, is my name.
Pippin, son of Paladin of the House of Took, at your service.
And have you no greeting for your companions? Gimli!
Legolas!
You rascals! You woolly-footed and woolly-pated truants! A fine hunt you've led us. 200 leagues through fen and forest, battle and death.
And here we find you feasting and idling and smoking.
And where did you come by the weed, you villains? Hammer and tongs. I'm so torn between rage and joy that if I do not burst, it will be a marvel.
Where is Saruman?
The Lord Saruman is within the tower, but at the moment he is closeted with one Wormtongue. Or doubtless he would be here to welcome such honorable guests.
Doubtless he would. And was it Saruman that ordered you to guard his damaged doors and watch for the arrival of guests? When your attention could be spared from plate and bottle?
Our orders came from Treebeard, who has taken over the management of Isengard. He commanded us to welcome the Lord of Rohan with fitting words.
So these are the last ones of your company, Gandalf. Are they not the halflings of legend that some among us call the Halberton?
Hobbits, if you please, Lord.
Hobbits, then. I had not heard that they spouted smoke from their mouths.
That is not surprising, for it is an art which we have not practiced for more than a few generations. It was Tobold Hornblower of Longbottom in the Southfarthing who first grew the true pipeweed. And that would have been... Let me see now. Yes, that would have been about the year 1070.
You do not know your danger, Theoden. These hobbits will sit on the edge of ruin and discuss the pleasures of the table or the small doings of their fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, remote cousins to the ninth degree, if you encourage them with undue patience. Come, we must perform the task for which we came here and pay a visit to Saruman. Dangerous and probably useless, but it must be done. Those of you who wish may come with the Lord Theoden and myself, but beware.
I will come. I wish to see him and learn if he really looks like you.
And how will you learn that, Master Dwarf? Saruman could look like me in your eyes if it suited his purpose with you. And are you yet wise enough to detect all his counterfeits? Well, we shall see. I shall order the Ents who are guarding him in his tower to remove themselves from sight, so perhaps we shall persuade him to come out.
What's the danger? Will he shoot at us and pour fire out of the windows, or can he put a spell on us from a distance?
The last is most likely. If you ride to his door with a light heart. But there is no knowing what he can do or may choose to try. A wild beast cornered is not safe to approach, and Saruman has powers you do not guess. Beware of his voice. Saruman? Saruman? Saruman, come forth!
He will not come.
Who is it? What do you wish?
I know that voice, and I curse the day when I first listened to it.
Go and ask Saruman to come down to us. Since you have become his footman, Grima Wormtongue, and do not waste our time.
What is it that you want? Why must you disturb my rest?
Will you give me no peace at all, by night or day?
Like Gandalf, and yet unlike.
Such gentleness, such benevolence.
But come now. Two at least of you I know by name. Gandalf I know too well to have much hope that he seeks help or counsel here.
But you, Theoden, Lord of the Mark of Rohan, why have you not come before, and as a friend? Much have I desired to see you, mightiest king of western lands, to save you from the unwise and evil counsels that beset you. Is it yet too late? Despite the injuries that have been done to me, in which the men of Rohan, alas, have had some part, Still, I would save you from the ruin that draws nigh inevitably if you ride upon this road which you have taken. Indeed, I alone can aid you now.
The words of this wizard stand on their heads. In the language of Orthanc, help means ruin, and saving means slaying, that is plain. But we do not come here to beg.
Peace, I do not speak to you yet, Gimli, Glowing Sun. Far away is your home, and small concern of yours are the troubles of this land.
But it was not by design of your own that you became embroiled in them. And so I do not blame such part as you have played. A valiant one, I doubt not. But I pray you let me speak first with the King of Rohan, my neighbor, and once my friend. What have you to say, Theoden King? Will you have peace with me, and all the aid that my knowledge, founded in long years, can bring?
Lord Theoden, hear me! Now we feel the peril that we were warned of. Have we ridden forth to victory, only to stand at last amazed by an old liar with honey on his forked tongue?
If we speak of poisoned tongues, what shall we say of yours, young serpent?
But come, Eomer, Eomer's son, to every man his part. Valor in arms is yours, but meddle not in policies which you do not understand. The friendship of Saruman and the power of Orthanc cannot be lightly thrown aside. You have won a battle, but not a war. And that with help on which you cannot count again. But my lord of Rohan, am I to be called a murderer because valiant men have fallen in battle? If you go to war needlessly, for I did not desire it, then men will be slain. Speak, Theoden King. Shall we have peace and friendship, you and I? It is ours to command.
We will have peace. Yes, we will have peace. We will have peace when you and all your works have perished, and the works of your dark master to whom you would deliver us. You are a liar, Saruman, and the corrupter of men's hearts. You hold out your hand to me, and I perceive only a finger of the claw of Mordor, cruel and cold. What will you say of the children of Rohan, who lie dead at Helm's Deep? When you hang from a gibbet at your window for the sport of your own crows, I will have peace with you and Orthanc.
Gibbets and crows? Dotard! What is the house of Aeol but a thatched barn where brigands drink in the reek and their brats roll on the floor among the dogs? Too long have they escaped the gibbet themselves. I know not why I have the patience to speak with you.
But you, Gandalf, for you at least I am grieved, feeling for your shame. How comes it that you can endure such company? For you are proud, Gandalf, and not without reason, having a noble mind and eyes that look both far and deep. Even now, will you not listen to my counsel?
What have you to say that you did not say at our last meeting? Or perhaps you have things to unsay.
Unsay? Unsay? I endeavored to advise you for your own good, but you scarcely listened. You erred, I think, misconstruing my intentions willfully. I fear that in my eagerness to persuade you, I lost patience. And indeed I regret it. For I bore you no ill will, and even now I bear none, though you return to me in the company of the violent and the ignorant. Gandalf, are we not both members of a high and ancient order, most excellent in Middle-earth? Much we could still accomplish together to heal the disorders of the world. For the common good, I am willing to redress the past and to receive you. Will you not consult with me? Will you not come up.
We will go, and we shall be lost.
Saruman! Saruman, you missed your path in life. You should have been the king's jester and earned your bread by mimicking his counselors. When I last visited you, you were the jailer of Mordor, and there I was to be sent. Nay, the guest who has escaped from the roof will think twice before he comes back in by the door. Nay, I do not think I will come up, but will you not come down? Listen, Saruman. Isengard has proved less strong than your hope and fancy made it. Your servants are destroyed and scattered. Your neighbors you have made your enemies, and you have cheated your new master. Or tried to do so. When his eye turns hither, it will be the red eye of wrath. And I have the power to protect you. You may leave Orthanc free, if you choose.
That sounds well. Very much in the manner of Gandalf the Grey. So condescending and so very kind. There are conditions, I suppose. What do you mean by free?
To go where you will, even to Mordor, Saruman, if you desire. But you will first surrender to me the key of Orthanc and your staff. They shall be the pledges of your conduct, to be returned later if you merit them.
Later! Later! Yes, when you ought to have the keys of Barad-dûr itself, I suppose, and the crowns of seven kings, and the rods of the five wizards. Do not be a fool. If you wish to treat with me while you have a chance, leave behind these cutthroats that dangle at your tail. Good day!
Come back, Saruman!
And he obeys like a whipped cur.
I did not give you leave to go. I have not finished. I am not Gandalf the Grey, whom you betrayed. I am Gandalf the White, who has returned from death. You have no color now. And I cast you from the Order and the Council. Saruman, your staff is broken! Go!
Calipers of Rohan, go back to your huts!
Look out!
What is it?
It looks like a stone ball. I'll go and get it.
The murderous rogue!
A parting shot from Master Wormtongue, I fancy, but ill-aimed.
But he may have other things to cast. If that is the end of the debate, let us go out of stone's throw at least.
It is the end. Let us go.
But what will you do with Saruman?
Nothing. I do not wish for mastery. He will be devoured if the power of Sauron stretches out its arms to Isengard. Strange are the turns of fortune. I must speak with Treebeard. Will you come with me, Theoden, King, to see the answer to my riddle?
So Saruman would not leave Orthanc. I didn't think he would. His heart is as rotten as a black horn's. Still, if I would overcome and all my trees destroyed, I wouldn't come while I had one dark hole left to hide in.
No, but you have not plotted to cover all the world with your trees and choke all other living things. But there it is. Saruman remains to nurse his hatred. He has the key to Orthanc.
But he must not be allowed to escape.
Indeed, no. Ents will see to that. Saruman shall not set foot beyond the rock. We shall not tire of watching her.
Pippin! Pippin! What has happened?
I don't know. He was sitting alone looking at the thing Wormtongue threw down.
The thing Wormtongue threw down? Let me see. A Palantir. Oh, how could I have made such a blunder? There can be few treasures in Orthanc more precious than this which Wormtongue threw at us. But what harm has the lad done to himself? And to all of us. Pippin, Do you hear me?
Tell Saruman that this dainty is not for him. I will send for it at once. Do you understand? Tell him that.
Peregrine, too. Come back.
Gandalf. Gandalf, forgive me.
What have you done?
Forgive me. But I didn't know I was doing anything wrong. I looked into the ball and I saw things that frightened me.
What did you see?
I don't want to think about it.
You must tell me.
I saw a dark sky and tall battlements and tiny stars. It seemed very far away and long ago, yet hard and clear. Then the stars went in and out. They were cut off by things with wings, like bats, but very big. I thought there were 9 of them. One began to fly straight towards me. It had a horrible... No, I can't say.
Tell us.
Then he came. He did not speak so that I could hear words. He just looked. And I understood.
So, you have come back. Why have you neglected to report for so long? That is not Saruman. Who are you?
And what was your answer?
I didn't want to tell him anything. But it was as if he was pressing me very hard. And I couldn't stand it any longer, and I said I was a hobbit. And he laughed at me. It was like being stabbed with knives. And then he said...
We shall meet again soon. Tell Saruman this dainty is not for him. I will send for it at once. Do you understand?
And that was all?
That was all.
Then rest for a while, if you can. For soon, you must come with me on a long journey.
How is Pippin?
I think all will be well. He wasn't held long, and hobbits have an amazing power of recovery, but we have had a narrow escape.
At last we know the link between Isengard and Mordor and how it worked. Much is explained.
Maybe I have been saved by this hobbit from some grave blunder. If I had probed the stone, I should have been revealed to him myself.
Has not the time come for that?
Not yet, no. There remains a short while of doubt which we must use. The enemy, it's clear, thinks that the stone is still in Orthanc, and the hobbit, and he does not know which hobbit, is held captive there. That dark mind will be filled now with the voice and face of the hobbit and with the conviction that he is the ring-bearer. It may take some time before he learns his error, and we must snatch that time. Will you, Aragorn, take the Orthanc stone and guard it? It is a dangerous charge.
Dangerous indeed, but not to all. Now my hour draws near, I will take it. For this assuredly is the Palantir from the treasury of Elendil, set here by the kings of Gondor.
Receive it, Lord, in earnest of other things that shall be given back. Nazgul!
The messenger of Mordor!
He's looking for me!
No, Pippin, no, he wasn't looking for you. It's 200 miles from Sauron's Tower of Barad-dûr to Orthanc, and even a Nazgul would take a few hours to fly between them. But Isengard is no place to linger in. I will ride ahead to Minas Tirith at once with Peregrine Took.
Open ways are safe no longer. Tomorrow I shall make for the cover of the hills.
The storm is rising. I shall away with Pippin on Shadowfax. Farewell. Follow fast. Tall ships and tall kings, 3 times 3. What brought they from the foundered land over the flowing sea? 7 stars and 7 stones, and 1 white tree.
What are you saying, Gandalf?
I was just running through some of the rhymes of lore in my mind.
Oh, I've never heard that one.
What are the seven stones?
The palantiri of the kings of old. The name meant that which looks far away. The Orthanc stone was one.
And it wasn't made by the enemy?
No, nor by Saruman. The palantiri came from beyond Western Es, from Eldamar. The Noldor made them.
What did the men of old use them for?
To see far off, and to converse in thought with one another. In that way, they long guarded and united the realm of Gondor. The palantiri were forgotten, save for the rhyme I spoke. The palantir of Orthanc must have withstood the storm of time. Alone, it could do nothing but see small images of things far off and days remote. But this was not enough for Saruman. Further and further abroad he gazed until he cast his gaze upon Barad-dûr. Then he was caught.
What's Barad-dûr?
The stronghold of Sauron in Mordor.
Mordor. I wonder if Frodo's reached there yet. I wish I had a palantir to see if he's all right.
There it is, little hobbit says. Kirith Gorgo, the haunted pass. Do you see those towers, precious? The teeth of Mordor. That's what they call them. And they bite.
Across the mouth of the pass, from cliff to cliff, the Dark Lord had built a rampart of stone. In it, there was a single gate of iron, and upon its battlements, sentinels paced unceasingly.
Well, here we are. Here's the gate, and it looks to me as if that's about as far as we're going to get. Oh, my word, but the gaffer would have a thing or two to say if he saw me now. He often said I'd come to a bad end. If I didn't watch my step, he did. Well, this is a bad end, sure enough. I suppose it's no good asking what way do we go now. Unless we want to ask an orc for a lift.
Silly hobbit. We can't go further.
Smeagol said so. He said we'll go to the gate and then we'll see. And we do see. Oh, yes, my precious. We do see. Smeagol knows hobbits is coming. Well, this way.
What in the plague did you bring us here for?
Master said so. Master says bring us to the gate. So good Smeagol does so. Master said so.
Wise.
Master.
Yes, I did. I said so because I purpose to enter Mordor and I know no other way. Therefore, I shall go this way.
No, no, Master.
I do not ask anyone to go with me.
No
use this way, no use. Don't take the precious to him.
He'll eat us all if he gets us it. Eat all the world. Don't let him have it.
Go away.
Go to nice places and give it back to little Smeagol. Oh. Yes, Smeagol will keep it safe. It will do lots of good, especially to nice hobbitses.
Hobbits, go home.
Don't go to the gate.
I am commanded to go to the land of Mordor, and therefore I shall go.
Not this way, Master.
If there is only one way, then I must take it.
There is another way. Master, yes, yes, indeed, there is, yes. Smeagol found it. Let Smeagol show you.
This way. You have not spoken of this before.
Master! Did not ask. Master did not say what he meant to do. He says, Smeagol, take me to the gate and then goodbye. But now he says, I propose to enter Mordor this way. So Smeagol's very afraid. He does not want to lose nice Master. And he promised. Master made him promise to save the precious.
Master's going to
take it to him. Straight to the Black Hand. If Master will go this way, so Smeagol thinks of another way that there was. Once upon a time.
Nice, Master.
Smeagol, very good.
What's he up to?
This way.
Is it Slinker Smeagol or Stinker Gollum who's doing the talking? Or have they made a truce so they can keep their eye on the ring as long as possible?
It's a good thing neither half of the old villain don't know what the master intends to do. If he knew that Mr. Frodo was trying to put an end to his precious for good and all, he'd be troubled pretty quick, I bet. I hope the master will think it out carefully. Well, he's as wise as any, but he's soft-hearted. That's what he is.
Smeagol. I will trust you once more. So far, you have deserved well of me and have kept your promise truly. For twice now, we have been in your power, and you have done no harm to us.
Go.
May the third time prove the best. But I warn you, Smeagol, you are in danger.
Yes, yes, Master, dreadful danger.
I did not mean the danger we all share, Smeagol. I mean a danger to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You swore a promise by what you call the precious. It will hold you to it, but it will seek a way to twist you to your own undoing. Already you are being twisted. Yes, you revealed yourself to me just now very foolishly.
What did nice Smeagol say?
Give it back to Smeagol, you say.
Oh.
Do not ever say that again. You will never get it back.
No, no, that's so nice.
In the last need, Smeagol, I should put on the precious. And the precious mastered you long ago. If I, wearing it, were to command you, you would obey, even if it were to leap from a precipice or to cast yourself into the fire. And such would be my command.
Nice, Master. Smeagol will be good. Nice, Master. Be kind. Be kind. Don't frighten Smeagol. Go. Go.
Well, come now.
Gollum.
Or Smeagol, if you wish. Tell me of this other way.
There's an old road that winds this and climbs its way up towards the Thrall Shadows. This. When it turns round the Black Rock, you'll see it. Suddenly see it above you and you'll want to hide.
What will you say?
The old fortress? Very old. Very horrible. We used to hear tales from the south when Smeagol was young. Long ago, we used to tell lots of tales in the evening, sitting by the banks of the great river in the willow lands, when the river was younger.
What about the road?
Tales out of the south about the tall men with shining eyes. They built very tall towers, as is, and one they raised was silver white, and in it there was a stone. Like the moon. Oh, yes. There were many tales about the tower of the moon.
That would be Minas Ithil, that Isildur, the son of Elendil, built. It was Isildur who cut off the finger of the enemy.
Yes! He has only four fingers on the black hand, but oh, they are enough. And he hated Isildur's city.
Oh, what does he not hate? But what has the Tower of the Moon to do with us?
It's not nice now, Master, not beautiful. Minas Morgul, they calls it. Travelers shivers when they see it, but that is the only way. For the mountains are lower there.
How will that help us? Surely the enemy knows all about his own mountains. And that way you'll be guarded as close as this. The tower isn't empty, is it?
No, not empty. Very dreadful things live there. Hawks, yes, almost hawks, but worse things live there too. The silent watchers.
So that's your advice, is it? That we should go on another long march south to find ourselves in the same fit?
No, hobbits must try to understand. He doesn't expect attack that way. His eyes all round, but it attends to some places more than others. He thinks no one can come to the Moon Tower without fighting big battles at the bridges as which he holds, or getting lots of boats as which they cannot hide.
Well, you seem to know a lot about what he's doing and thinking.
Yes.
Have you been talking to him lately, or just hobnobbing with orcs?
Not nice, Hobbit. Not sensible. Stupid Hobbit. Smeagol has talked to orcs, yes, before he met Master, and to many peoples. They all say that the big danger for the Black Hand is here, in the north.
But away.
Away down by the Tower of the Moon?
He's not afraid, Master.
Because there are silent watchers.
Just so. And so we are to walk up and knock at their gate and ask if we're not on the right road for Mordor. We might as well do it here and save ourselves a long tramp.
Don't make jokes about it. It isn't funny, stupid hobbit.
Master. Master mustn't go through that gate into the terrible city. That is where Smeagol helps.
Nice, Smeagol. Now no one tells him. No one tells him what it's all about.
Smeagol helps again. He found it.
He knows.
What did you find?
A little path leading up to the mountains. And then a stair, very long and narrow. Then more stairs. And then a tunnel, a dark tunnel. And at last, a little cleft. And a path high above the main path that goes down, 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 down. To Gorgoroth. It was that way that Smeagol got out of the darkness. But it was years ago. The path may have vanished now, but perhaps not. Perhaps not.
I don't like the sound of it at all. If that path is still there, it'll be guarded too. Wasn't it guarded, gone?
Guarded?
Is it not guarded? And did you escape out of the darkness, or... were you permitted to depart on an errand? That is what Aragorn thought. He found you by the dead marshes some years ago.
It's a lie! He lied at me! Yes, he did! I did escape! All by my poor selves, yes! Of course I was told to search for the precious, and I have searched! But not for the Black One. No. The precious was ours! Ours it was.
But is this secret way guarded? Is it guarded, Gollum?
Yes. Yes, perhaps.
No safe places in this country.
But Master
must try it.
Or go home.
No other way.
Then we must take it. What is its name?
But that name, Gollum would not or could not tell. It was Cirith Ungol, a name of dreadful rumour. Gandalf would have warned them, but Gandalf was far away. Pippin looked out from the shelter of Gandalf's cloak. Shadowfax was flying beneath the whirling stars, needing no urging and no guidance. To the right, Pippin could see vast shadows against the sky where the mountains of the south marched past.
How long have we been riding now, Gandalf?
2 nights since.
Since I looked into the Seeing Stone. Do you think he can see us, Gandalf? Do you think he is watching us?
We no longer have the stone, and in any case, the Palantiri cannot see in darkness.
And are there others, besides the one I found, and the one he uses?
There were many once. But they've long since been lost, or buried, or drowned deep. Minas Anor had its stone, and Amonsul, and Minas Tirith.
Minas Tirith? That's where we're going.
Yes, Pippin, but the stone at Minas Tirith men have long forgotten. Who knows what became of it?
So, 4 of the company still remain. It is time to set out from Isengard.
Everywhere I hear tidings of war. The riders of Rohan must be summoned to the great muster of Edoras. I shall come there by way of Dunharrow, where my sister daughter Eowyn awaits me.
And then?
We shall ride to the aid of Minas Tirith.
I must go down also to Minas Tirith, but I do not see the road I should take.
No ways are safe since the coming of the Nazgul on their winged steeds. I will ride to Dunharrow by mountain roads, not by the plain.
And I and my companions will ride with you, at least until I see more clearly what I must do. An hour long prepared approaches.
And so they rode forth, 24 horses, on their long journey towards Minas Tirith.
My lord king, there are horsemen behind us. They are overtaking us, riding hard.
Then we must turn and face them. Halt! Draw your swords. Halt! Halt! Who rides in Rohan?
Halbarad Dunedain, Ranger of the North I am. We seek one Aragorn, son of Arathorn, and we heard that he was in Rohan.
And you have found him also! Mary, take the reins of my horse.
I haven't. Is it truly you, Aragorn? We have sought you long.
It is I. Of all joys, this is the least expected.
I have 30 men with me. That is all of our kindred that could be gathered in haste. We rode as swiftly as we might when your summons came.
But I did not summon you, save only in wish. But come, all such matters must wait. What is that you bear, kinsman, wrapped close and bound with so many thongs?
It is a gift that I bring you from Arwen of Rivendell. She wrought it in secret, and long was the making. But she also sends word to you. The days now are short. Either our hope cometh, or all hopes end. Therefore I send thee what I have made for thee. Farewell, Elfstone.
Now I know what you carry. Bear it still for me a while.
I bear you also a message from Elrond. He bade me tell you, and the days are short. If thou art in haste, remember the paths of the dead.
Always my days have seemed to me too short to achieve my desire, but great indeed will be my haste ere I take that road.
Aragorn! Will your kinsmen ride with us?
If you give us leave, my lord.
Ah, it is well. Let us ride to Helm's Deep, where we will take shelter for the night, and then on to Dunharrow.
The night was old and the east grey when they rode up at last from Deeping Combe and came back to the Hornburg. Their rest was brief, and they had scarce time to close their weary eyes before the sun was high.
It is near the hour for setting out on our journey, my lord.
Is the company assembled?
All that can be spared. Only a small garrison will remain here at Helm's Deep. 500 men will ride with you to the weapon take at Edoras.
Then let us go. But where is Aragorn?
He is coming now.
He is grey and weary as if many years had fallen upon his head in a single night.
My lord, I must speak with you.
Speak on.
I am troubled in mind, lord. I have heard strange words and I see new perils far off. Tell me, Theoden, you ride now to Dunharrow. How long will it be ere you come there?
I shall ride by mountain paths since the Nazgûl are abroad. Before the night of the third day, we should come to the hold.
And then you must ride to Edoras to the weapon take, and I see that it cannot be hastened. Then, by your leave, lord, I must take new counsel for myself and my kindred. We must ride our own road, and no longer in secret. For me, the time of stealth is past. I will ride east by the swiftest way, and I will take the paths of the dead.
The paths of the dead? Why do you speak of them? If there be in truth such paths, their gate is in Dunharrow, but no living man may pass it.
Alas, Aragorn, my friend. I had hoped that we should ride to war together. But if you seek the paths of the dead, then our parting is come. And it is little likely that we shall meet again under the sun.
That road I will take, nonetheless. But I say to you, Eomer, that in battle we may yet meet again, though all the hosts of Mordor should stand between.
But what about me?
Mary, forgive me, I had quite forgotten.
Exactly, you had forgotten. I know I have not been of much use yet, but I don't want to be laid aside like baggage to be called for when it is all over. What are you going to do with me?
I think, Mary, that your road lies with the king, if he will take you.
I would count it an honor. I promised you, Mary Arok, that you should sit by me, Meduseld, and tell me tales of the Shire. But long will it be before we have time for tale-telling. Will you ride with me?
May I? Oh, that would be splendid. I'm afraid I am only in everyone's way, but I should like to do anything I could, you know.
Then you shall be my sword, Thane. Is there gear of war in this place, Eomer, that he could use?
Maybe a light helm might be found to fit him, but we have no mail or sword for one of his stature.
I have a sword. May I lay the sword of Meriadoc of the Shire on your lap, Theoden King? Receive my service, if you will.
Gladly will I take it. Rise now, Merry Adoc, Esquire of Rohan of the household of Meduseld. Take your sword and bear it unto good fortune.
As a father you shall be to me.
For a little while. And now, Aragorn, it is time for us to part. You will do as you will, I know. It is your doom, maybe, to tread strange paths that others dare not. This parting grieves me, and my strength is lessened by it. But now I must take the mountain roads and delay no longer. Farewell.
Then let us ride. Forward!
What has happened? A shadow has fallen over.
A struggle somewhat grimmer than the battle over the Hornburg. I have looked in the stone of Orthanc.
You have looked in that accursed stone of wizardry? Did you say aught to him? Even Gandalf feared that encounter.
You forget to whom you speak. I am lawful master of the stone, and I had both the right and strength to use it. The right cannot be doubted. The strength was enough. Barely. Sauron? Sauron? Do you see me, Sauron? This is no wizard or halfling that you may bend to your will. Behold me, Sauron. I am Aragorn, son of Arathorn, the heir of Isildur, the heir of Elendil, Elessar that is to be, king of the lands you have sought to make your own. Behold my sword and Duril, the flame of the west, forged from the shards of Narsil, the sword of Elendil, the broken sword which cut from your finger the one ring, the ring of power.
And did he speak to you?
He said nothing. And yet the struggle was bitter. But he is not so mighty that he is above fear.
But he wields great dominion, nevertheless, and now he will strike more swiftly.
The hasty stroke often goes astray. We must press our enemy fast. I learned many things from the stone. A grave peril is approaching Gondor from the south that will draw off great strength from the defense of Minas Tirith. If it is not countered swiftly, the city will be lost in 10 days.
Then lost it must be, for what help is there to send thither, and how could it come in time?
I have no help to send, therefore I must go myself. But there is only one way through the mountains that will bring me to the coastlands before all is lost. That is the paths of the dead.
Can the living use such a road and not perish?
In this dark hour, the heir of Isildur may use it if he dare.
But even if you pass that way, what will so few avail to counter the strokes of Mordor?
This is the message brought to me from Elrond. Bid Aragorn remember the words of the seer and the paths of the dead.
And what may be the words of the seer?
The tower trembles, to the tomb of kings doom approaches. The dead awaken, for the hour is come for the oath-breakers. At the stone of Erech they shall stand again and hear a horn in the hills ringing.
But who were the oath-breakers?
The men of Dunharrow, sworn to fight with Isildur against Sauron. When he summoned them, they would not fulfill their oaths, for the enemy had corrupted them. They fled before his wrath into the mountains and dwindled into the barren hills of Erech, there to remain forever in the grey twilight. The dead who cannot rest until the heir of Isildur calls them to fulfill their oath. I do not go gladly, and only of your free will would I have you come.
I will go with you, even on the paths of the dead, and to whatever end they may lead.
I also will come, for I do not fear the dead.
I hope that the forgotten people will not have forgotten how to fight.
That we shall know when we come to Erech.
And as they prepared to set out on their journey to the Haunted Mountain, Frodo slept beneath a thicket of bay leaves in the marches of that land that man once called Ithilien, and Sam kept watch over him.
Yes.
Whoa.
Food for hungry hobbitses. Rabbitses. Nice rabbits. Smeagol always helps. Find something fit for hungry hobbitses, they say so. Smeagol helps. Oh, but the master has gone to sleep. And perhaps Sam wants to sleep. Perhaps hobbitses don't want rabbitses now.
You'll soon find out whether we want them or not. Yeah, go and fill these pans with water. Bring them back.
Well, Smeagol will fetch water, yes, but what does the hobbit want all the water for? His junk is washed.
Never you mind. The sooner you fetch the water, the sooner you'll find out.
Smeagol always helps nice hobbits. What a...
Oh, Mr. Frodo. Too old and weary you're looking. And too thin and drawn. It's not right for a hobbit.
I'm going to wake him up if I can get these conies cooked. Now let's get a fire going.
Right. No, no, silly hobbits, they mustn't do it!
Mustn't do what?
Mustn't make nasty red tongues. It's dangerous, yes, it is dangerous. It burns, it kills, it will bring enemies. Yes, it will.
Well, I don't see why it should. And if you don't put wet stuff on it and make a smother. But if it does, it does. I'm going to risk it. And anyhow, I'm going to stew these conies.
Stew the rabbits, is? Spoil beautiful meat. Smeagol, save for you, poor hungry Smeagol. The young, the tender. Then
now, now, each to his own fashion. You needn't watch me. Go and catch another and eat it as you fancy. Somewhere private and out of my sight. No, no. Go and get me some herbs. That's what a hobbit needs with a coney. A few bay leaves. Some thyme and sage, that'll do.
No. Smeagol is not pleased. And Smeagol doesn't like smelly leaves. He doesn't eat grasses and roots, isn't it? Oh, precious. Not till he's starving or very sick. Poor Smeagol.
Poor Smeagol. Get into real hot water when the water boils if he don't do as he's asked. Sam will put his head in it.
Yes,
precious. And I'd make him look for turnips and carrots and taters, too. Oh, if it was the time of year, I'd give a lot for half a dozen taters.
Taters. Smeagol won't go. Oh, no, precious, not this time. He's frightened. He's very tired. Yeah. What's taters, precious, eh?
Huh?
What's taters?
Potatoes.
Potatoes.
The gaffer's delight and rare good ballast for an empty belly. If you turn over a new leaf and keep it turned... I'll cook you some taters one of these days, I will.
Ooh.
Fried fish and chips served by Escamgee. You couldn't say no to that?
Yes, yes, we could. Spoiling nice fish and scorching it. Give me fish now and keep nasty chips.
Oh, you're hopeless. Mm. I'll get some herbs myself, providing they're not out of sight of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Go to sleep.
Mm. Hmm. Sam.
Ooh.
Not resting. Is anything wrong?
No, nothing's wrong.
What is that smell?
I've got a bit of stew for you and some broth, Mr. Frodo.
Sam.
This is good.
But you should have been resting, Sam. And hey, and lighting a fire was dangerous in these parts. But I do feel hungry. What have you stewed?
It's a present from Smeagol.
Oh, what?
Yeah, brace of young conies. Though I fancy Gollum's regretting them now.
Where is he?
Well, I suppose he's gone off to find something for himself. He's not pleased with Sam. Oh, no, precious. He's not pleased at all. You drink your broth, Mr. Frodo. Forget about him.
Yes, Sam.
Well, Mr. Frodo, taters or no taters, that were a tasty pair of conies.
They were, Sam. Look, your fire's smoking.
Huh?
You better put it out.
Oh, why, so it is. How could I have been so stupid? I'll stamp it out.
What? What was that?
I hope it was only a bird. But it didn't sound quite like that. It was more like somebody mimicking a bird.
Yes.
If that fire's brought trouble, I'll never forgive...
Shh, Sam.
That
That's where the smoke came from, over there.
Voices.
We shall have it like a coney in a trap.
Quick, into the ferns.
Then we shall learn what kind of thing it is.
Too late. Throw your sword.
Not what we sought. But what have we found?
In episode 8 of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, adapted by Michael Bakewell, the part of Frodo was played by Ian Holm, Gandalf by Michael Horden, and Aragorn by Robert Stevens. Sam, William Nye, Gollum, Peter Woodthorpe, Merry, Richard O'Callaghan, Pippin, John McAndrew, Treebeard, Stephen Thorne, Legolas, David Collings, Gimli, Douglas Livingstone, Theoden, Jack May, Éomer, Anthony Hyde, Saruman, Peter Howell, Grima Wormtongue, Paul Brook, Faramir, Andrew Sear, Halbarad, Martin Reed. The narrator was Gerard Murphy.